This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Meringutan is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All throws with monkey sounds in there and call it good.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon. Okay, welcome in. Happy Tuesday in a sunny Rose City. Feels good.
It's nice out there.
Feels good.
Nice out there. My car said 81 yesterday.
Oh, your car's lying.
Oh, that's what I was like. Oh, I should say lying. My wife's car.
Yeah, my wife.
Yeah, she's got one of the older.
Yeah, that I never trust those. I never trust them.
No,
I never will trust them. Ever.
It's always funny when it does get really hot in like the high 90s.
Yeah. And it's like 110.
Yeah, like, 113. Whoa. I'm like, no, it's not Vegas hot.
Surface of the sun. Yeah. No, Heat Dome was great. We went and looked on the car, and it was like, I think it just kind of maxed out. It was like 120.
I'd say
it was
probably like, 120, yeah.
Yeah, that's about it. All right. That was wild. People were driving around. I think the hottest spot in Portland, I think it was the Oregonian that did this, where they drove around with one of the
FLIRs.
Yeah, where the little gun where you shoot and it tells you the temperature. And it was on the cement. It was like 137 degrees on pavement or something
like
that.
Like literally cook an egg.
Yeah. That was really hot here.
I did that once when I was a little kid on the Colorado River in Arizona. My grandfather... There was a river rock, you know, a big flat river rock that was not wet. You know, the water level rises and falls, all that kind of stuff. And he just wipes it off real quick and cracks an egg on it, and it started to sizzle and cook.
That's crazy.
And he was like, yeah, it's hot.
Yeah, that's how we know.
Yeah.
That's how we know it's hot.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I never trust the old... The old ways of taking temperatures, like when they say back in 1907, it was
the mercury
158 degrees. You're
but
like
the mercury worked.
It has to work a certain way. Was it though?
Like it doesn't change.
I don't believe you. I treat them like baseball records, right? We have our modern day records.
Live ball,
yeah.
And live ball era.
The old era, you know, when the they had to lower the pitcher's mound, you know? Too much
juice.
Too much gas there, huh? All right. That's talking weather for you. It's great, though.
It is.
It's phenomenal out there.
Are you a window down person at all?
No.
See, I'm
not when I'm driving, because...
The whoosh sound?
Yeah, it's annoying.
I love window down and AC on.
Yeah, that seems just counterproductive.
Pure psychopath.
Well...
I'd like to have the AC blowing on my feet. I don't, my legs get hot. I hate it.
This
like
is
hot,
weird.
Hot feet is just...
Hot feet is weird.
I don't like it.
Huh.
At all.
Okay.
Just The AC went out.
That explains the Crocs.
Yes. Yes. The AC went out. I was driving my wife's car yesterday. The AC went out on the car on the way home, and it's a sports car. The engine is just right there on top of it, and it just cooked my feet while I was stuck in traffic for 2 hours. It was super fun.
Huh.
Super fun.
Yeah, that's not great.
No.
That's not great.
You got car
troubles right now.
Yeah.
You got some car troubles.
Just the transmission and an AC in back-to-back days. Super cool.
I'll tell you what. It seems like with car stuff, when it rains, it pours.
Oh, God. It's just one thing after another.
Yeah.
But hopefully the issue's fixed a couple $100 later.
Oh, hey.
Yeah.
All right.
Just had to spend a couple hours at the repair place.
Could be worse. You could be playing bumper cars out there.
Ooh, yeah. No, I saw a guy get hit on a motorcycle yesterday.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's bad.
He was being a dummy, but so was the guy driving. The guy in the motorcycle tried to go in the bike lane.
Oh.
Because traffic was backed up.
Okay.
He's like,
can't do that.
Look, if you're a motorcycle rider in Oregon, don't. Just don't. Like, don't try to split traffic. Don't try to go through the middle. Number one.
Well, here, it's illegal.
Number one, it's illegal lane here. Splitting. Number two, we are not looking for you. This is not California. This is not Arizona. It's not Florida. There, they are looking for you. They're aware because it's normal, because they have motorcycles year-round.
Well, and every day somebody gets hit. Like, literally, every day somewhere in Southern California, mm-hmm. there's a motorcycle accident that backs up traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to be super safe on a motorcycle. Like, you have got to be the most aware.
Yeah, it's like cyclists who, like, throw up their hands when they run through a stop sign.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dummy, you're on the road in Portland. You were the worst for this. The arrogant cyclist that does not follow these. Like, you're so mad that when cars slightly roll forward or take up a little bit of your 18-foot wide green lane, but heaven forbid you stop at a red light like everyone else.
Yeah.
Drives me absolutely nuts. It's a full-on with what grinds my gear segment right
now. You know, I'm not going to lie. I haven't had a cycling issue in quite some time.
Really?
Yeah, I'm on a heater right now.
I had some guy a couple weeks ago, actually just around the corner, going to Moda on NATO.
Yeah.
Blow through the red light and got mad because I was starting to turn right. And I'm like, it's a red light. You can't go.
Yeah, and he was going straight.
He was going straight. And I'm just like, He starts, like, throwing his hands up. I rolled down my window and said something to him.
Oh, no way. You yelled at someone.
Eh, well. I was going to let it go until he said the magic word. He said the magic word.
I'm sure you were ready to let it go. Your window was already down to hear him yell that word, and then you were just like, yep, in.
Yeah, no, 100%. Well, no, the window's down because I drive with my window down pretty much. As long as it's not, like, raining, I usually have the window down. But, yeah, no, I was going to let it go until, you know, when he did the flail, I was like, all right, dude, whatever. But he dropped the magic word.
No.
I was more than happy to partake and take up more of his time.
Least surprising thing we've heard today.
Yeah, well.
That's not surprising in the slightest. All right, Rust, how you doing over there?
Chilling.
Oh, all right. Nice.
Yeah, I had the other day I was getting ready to turn left into the old center of Quality Foods at the stoplight there, and there was a motorcyclist that he just decided that he didn't want to wait in line like the other cars to go straight. There was probably 10 cars or so.
I don't get it.
He just went up the whole lane and parked himself right at the crosswalk and took off before everybody else.
Golly.
Yeah.
What's going on these days?
That's ballsy.
Wow. All right.
I gave up my motorcycle when I was in West Texas, and I got a speed wobble about $160.
Well, don't go 160 miles an hour. I think that right there. I actually just read a story. There's a guy who was just arrested for, I think locally, going 160 miles an hour and videotaping it on his motorcycle and then posting it to the internet.
What an idiot. What are you doing?
Yeah. At least do the, hey, look what my friend sent me.
Yeah, anonymous post.
Not the, look what I did.
Yeah, don't have your name attached to it.
Like, yeah.
Do the burner post and, like, retweet it or...
Yeah, I don't know. But that's...
Make sure you frame up the license plate real nice, too.
Stupid. Yeah, right? Do a selfie like, hey, look, 160.
No, I got a speed wobble at that speed, and you couldn't have taken me out of that seat because the pucker factor was so tight.
Yep.
I was glued to that thing.
No, I don't.
I just let off the gas and just let it run out over the next 1,000 yards.
Yeah, I'm glad you gave a motorcycle, because there's no way you'd be alive had that happen.
Yeah, no, and I managed.
If you kept writing, you'd be dead.
I managed to never lay it down.
Oh, hey, all right.
Which is impressive.
Good. Good.
So simple things in life.
I guess it is. It is the simple things in life. All right, I got to vent really quick here for a second. I've started running again.
Oh, how are you feeling?
Awful.
Yeah.
Like, the whole idea of the runner's high, I don't speak that language. I don't get that. I must be immune to the runner's high. Because I don't.
I had it happen a couple times.
I've never had it. Even when I ran track.
Yeah.
Like, in the best shape of my life. Mm-hmm. High school, college, I would go on a run and I would never, like, everybody's like, don't you feel great after? I'm like, no, I don't. I never feel that way. And I would not be running right now if it wasn't for one of my friends who's having a for his 40th birthday.
Oh, no.
We are having, like, an Olympics for him. Not all of it is going to be running.
Mm.
But it's going to start with a 5K.
Oh.
Yeah. It's going to start with the 5K.
I hate healthy friends.
Oh, he knows this.
Friends.
He knows. He knows my grievances against this. And there's a group chat for everybody. And one of his buddies was he lives back in the Midwest, was like, are we really doing this? Can I opt out of this? He's like, no, you will finish it.
Yeah, no, that's just where you pull out the old Randy Jackson and just be like, that's going to be a no for me, dog.
Yeah. But here's the thing. I would do this. I would be that. However, my wife might be the most competitive person I've ever met in my entire life. Like, she's accused me of cheating at Yahtzee, where I'm rolling dice in front of her.
You're using loaded dice?
Yeah, she has, I can't even, when we're at a casino, I can't even go near her at a craps table, because she's like,
your bad luck.
Get out. Get going right there. She is hyper-competitive. And so, she's a runner. She enjoys it for some god-awful reason. She enjoys running. So now I'm in a position where it's like, okay, one, she's uber competitive. And then two, I know that once I start running in this 5K, I in turn will start getting uber competitive too. And I cannot handle my wife beating me by a lot. She's going to beat me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not, my ramp up for this is not.
Not great. When is this taking place?
Mid-May. Oh, mid-May. Yeah, so we're like a month out. We're a month out and I'm sitting there and I'm going, not for me, dog.
Did you get the complimentary running shoes that were really good for you?
No.
Are we going with the old standbys?
No, I just am still running in my. They're just old. They're old.
Yeah,
they're old Pegasuses, and I need to get new running shoes, and like that's a whole other thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm just.
We're at the age where like you have to have.
I got bad back. Like, I just am not. I don't.
You have to have shoes that complement your body.
Yeah.
When you're running for like any real distance.
Yeah. With that said, I'm actually feeling okay.
There you go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm feeling okay. My legs hurt.
You've definitely, the last 2 days, you've had the same look on your face both mornings when I've gotten here.
Which is
the oof, a little stiffer than usual.
No, yeah. That's my back. It's always hurt. I'm just screwed. I'm old. Whatever. But it's a fight. I have to do a fight against my own
5K
will.
5K is like what, 2.4 miles?
3.1.
3.1. 3.1. That's right.
Yeah. Yep. 3.1. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, no. I couldn't do that right now.
No.
I mean, I could walk it, but.
Yeah, I'm just sitting there. I'm going, dude, make it through.
I think it's been 5 years since I've run a mile. Through.
5 years?
Yeah.
It's a long time,
dude. Well, I mean, my wife and I, we used to run out every day before the surgeries.
Psychos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. She, that was, as much as you and your wife are competitive, my wife and I are competitive, but it was less that and more like we both knew we didn't like it. So it was like out of spite.
Okay.
That we like ran against each other.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
No.
But
okay. I'll subscribe to it.
Neither one of us is like, yeah, we really want to go do this.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
Oh, man.
But we knew the other didn't want to do it either.
Yeah.
And so it was almost like, let's go do it.
Okay. Health. Fitness. This is why I just, like, there's times where I'm like, I wish I lived in, like, Mississippi, where, like, they may be 50th in education, but they're number one in obesity, and they don't care. Like, they ain't going for runs down there.
Well, it's, you don't want to run. It's between the mosquitoes and the humidity.
It's like health here. Mm. Everybody's all healthy. I guess I'll be healthy, too. Yeah. You know?
It's a running city.
Golly. All right. Let's do this. Competitive stubbornness, foundation of my relationship.
Yeah.
That text is, that's a good one. Yeah, that's basically how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's healthy. All right. We got radio program for you today. Colorado is retiring numbers all willy nilly now. We got to go through that. I have a thought exercise for you, Mr. Meringue, because I was inspired by you yelling at us yesterday about the Blazers. If you missed that tirade, go, it's good. It's quality stuff. Go check it out.
One of my better moments of me losing my mind.
I mean, it was you losing your mind. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. But I want you to rank the Portland Trailblazers roster on the importance of each player moving forward for the organization.
Mm.
Okay.
Doable.
So taking the season, their careers into account, we're going to go rank and file every member of the Blazers. Well, not everyone. 2A guys. We all know where you are.
Mm.
Okay. But where we got to start this bad boy off, Nico Harrison has held his first media availability since the Luka trade, and it went about how you would expect it to go. Danny and Dusty on The Fan.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Nico Harrison, general manager of the Dallas Mavericks, spoke to the media. Some of the media.
Kind of the media.
For the first time since trading Luka Doncic. Actually, the first time since his very awkward, bumbling press conference following the Luka Doncic trade. And today it was... I don't know if the Mavericks could handle this any worse. Nico Harrison and CEO Rick Welts held a press conference, if you can call it that, with select members of the media, which were not allowed recording devices, no cameras were allowed, and they just basically brought them in and had a conversation about the end of the regular season and all things that have transpired since.
I have no idea who runs PR for the Mavericks. Whoever they are, I'm sorry. I have nothing against you personally. No, I do have something against you personally. You're terrible at your job. You're terrible. You're awful. You have no business doing what you're doing. I don't care if it's what the CEO is telling you to do. The president is telling you to do. Quit. 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 Yeah. Everything you've done has been wrong. Every single thing you've done has been wrong.
Boy, it's not even their PR team, though, because you get these people who are in high leverage pressure positions. Mm-hmm. And when they don't want to be called to the carpet on things, then there's no PR person that can tell them what to do.
I mean,
and that's the thing. This is more on their leadership, starting with ownership, going to Rick Welts.
For sure.
Going to Nico Harrison. And it's like, at some point, you've got to face the music.
Oh, yes.
And they are refusing to face the music. In fact, Harrison said, "There's no regrets on the trade. Part of my job is to do the best thing for the Mavericks, not only today, but also in the future. And some of the decisions I'm going to make are going to be unpopular. That's my job, and I have to stand by it." He's saying defense wins championships, and that's why Luka Doncic could not be a part of their team if they wanted to win a championship.
It's literally almost making me speechless. Like the veracity of stupidity.
Yeah.
The arrogance of it. It's just like, what? What do you mean? You weren't the worst defense in the league. In fact, you built a team that was very good defensively around Luka Doncic to the point that you got to the NBA Finals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, what are we doing here? I don't... You reached the mountaintop.
Well, and they got unceremoniously dumped in the NBA Finals because they ran into a team that had multiple options, and they found every single way to hunt Luka Doncic, and he got cooked.
And so you come back and you find more ways to do that.
Yeah.
That you don't trade the 25-year-old who took you there.
No.
It every single part of this, and I keep coming back to this. If you are the most cynical person possible and you think that all of this is orchestrated by the Adelson family, Dumont, Nico, not even Nico, that Nico's a puppet in all of this, that it's the ownership group, that they are the ones pulling all the strings. And they're doing all this because they are trying to get something done to where they can build a new stadium and legalize gambling in Texas. The whole idea of the team being moved, stop it. Do not text that in right now. The team is not being moved. It is not being moved. I will say that until I'm blue in the face. It is not being moved. The tinfoil is not tight enough for you to even get to that point. They are not moving that team. The NBA is not going to forego $6 billion in expansion rights fees just so the Adelson family can move an already established team into a market they're getting a team into.
Well, and from one of the largest markets in the country to a
one of the smallest.
Yep.
As far as current sports markets. But even if you're that cynical and you think that's all they're doing, where is the win here? Because if they're going to legalize gambling in Texas, you need public support.
Yeah.
And there's just nothing that they've done that...
I'm not buying any of that. I honestly believe that this is just ownership that is out to lunch and does not care about the team, like Mark Cuban did especially. They went from an owner who cared so deeply and so passionately about the team, sometimes he got in the way, to an ownership that just is letting everybody do everything else. And Nico Harrison, I mean, he has doubled down, tripled down, quadrupled down on his philosophy is that defense is what's going to win them a championship. No winny championship without Bally going hoop.
Yes.
And Luka Doncic better at that than everybody else.
And even if you, again, if you're so cynical that you believe that they don't care about the organization, that they're just interested in it for money, that they want to run it like a venture capital firm. They want to rinse their Las Vegas money through Dallas. Like, the worst possible scenario. Even then, this doesn't make sense because there is the ESPN research team said that the economic impact is going to cost them over $1 billion trading away Luka Doncic. So you've lost all public trust. You're losing upwards of $1 billion. Your team is noticeably worse. You have less assets. Where is the thing here that makes sense? If you're talking about them just making money, or if you're talking about them legalizing gambling or getting a new arena, nothing they have done is accomplishing any singular goal. And
the crazy part is they didn't even get the best future pick of the Lakers.
That's what I mean. They have literally failed to achieve any goal other than turning their fan base against them and sending out Luka Doncic.
Ooh, he did address the fan base. He said, well, the beauty of Dallas is that it's a passionate fan base. For us to reach our goals, we need a fan base. And to be or that fan base. And to be honest with you, every trade I've made since and this is not gonna help him. To be honest with you, every trade I've made since I've been here has not been regarded as a good trade. And so sometimes it takes time. When I traded for Kyrie, it was met with a lot of skepticism, and it was graded as a terrible trade, and you didn't see it right away. But eventually, everyone agreed that it was a great trade. When I traded for Gafford in Washington, again, it was like, oh, he gave up way too much. these guys aren't going to help us. Now that trade, you saw evidence a lot sooner. So I think a lot of times trades take a little bit of time. But our philosophy, like I said, going forward is defense wins championships, and we are built on defense, and this trade cements that for us.
He's an idiot.
I would agree.
Like I
mean, this guy.
I hate like getting to that point, but yeah. that's where we're at. He's an idiot.
I don't like to Luka call Doncic for is... people's firings.
No, I don't either.
And I really think it's in poor form. But at this point, with the way that the organization has gone, and the doubling, tripling down, and look, the. A lot of folks will be like, well, Anthony Davis got hurt right when he got there. Well, what did you expect? It's Anthony Davis. Yeah. He's 32 years old, and he was injured a lot when he was young in his career.
And if you're talking about Nico Harrison and the idea of, well, he's just doing their bidding, brother, quit. Quit.
Yeah.
Resign, because you're damaging yourself so much, you will never work in the league again.
Yeah, I don't.
You will never work in the league again. If they demand you to trade Luka Doncic, you quit.
All right, StatMuse has chimed in. The Dallas Mavericks had a defensive rating of 113 with Luka Doncic this season.
Yeah, which is like league average.
The Dallas Mavericks had a defensive rating of 114.9 with Anthony Davis this season. Now, Kyrie tore his ACL. Anthony Davis has been in and out of the lineup.
But it's still like...
Those two things...
113's totally fine. And I bet you their offensive ratings was probably very, very, very different.
I
bet you they were a lot better on offense. So much so that their net rating was drastically better with Luka Doncic.
Yeah, yeah.
Turns out the guy that averages 30, 10, and 10 is really good.
The not just stumbling at every turn, but falling flat on their face at every turn with the handling of this situation is only magnifying every time we hear something new from the Dallas Mavericks. Nico Harrison, in his first comments since the initial trade went down for Luka Doncic and Anthony Davis, it did not go any better for anybody involved. To only have a select media members there, no video, no audio recordings. That is...
You want the video and audio so that you have, like, in case somebody takes something out of context.
Yeah.
Like, it's protection against that.
Yeah.
And look, the Blazers have an off-record meeting every year.
Mm-hmm.
But we have on-record meetings with the front office regularly.
Mm-hmm.
But we have an off-the-record, like, hey, you know, here's where things sit kind of situation. That's not uncommon around the league. But for this to be an on record, but not recorded, not documented meeting is super weird.
It's like not just super weird. It's
it doesn't make any sense.
It's head scratching because of they need public perception turned in the greatest way possible. And maybe the idea behind this is that this is the start and then you roll him out again once the season is over. And you have all of the cameras are there, but
yeah.
He gets some sort of a message out there in a framing out there for people to brace for. So when he comes back, and obviously there will be backlash that's already mounting up over the no regrets, and we need that fan base. But we also think defense wins championships, and we are going to continue to roll through with that. I just think... this is going to get a lot worse than it is before it gets better.
Which is insane. Yeah. How does this get worse?
Well, the Lakers win a championship.
My God.
And Kyrie Irving is never the same. And you really have to start from scratch after that.
Oh, my God. Why would you even say that out loud?
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, you want to know how it gets worse?
Yeah.
That's how everybody's life gets worse.
I mean, you gave a 10-year runway to the Lakers for free.
Yeah, they really did. Harrison said, we targeted AD with our philosophy of defense wins championships. We wanted a two-way player to lead our team, and that was Anthony Davis. And so everybody's going to have their critics, and I'm not sure what Mark said, speaking of Mark Cuban, but that's a better question left for him. But we got what we wanted. Mark Cuban not consulted in the trade whatsoever.
Yeah.
Boy.
Yeah. He found out like a few minutes before it went public.
Yeah. And I believe he said
he's a minority shareholder.
He said what the F
yeah.
Was his response.
Did you
to
see
that.
The video of him at the Laker game?
Yeah.
When they came to town? Just him shaking his head like, are you kidding me? Is this really happening?
Well, yeah. Yeah. Here's
shouldn't,
one.
Shouldn't have tapped out.
Here's
man.
Another good one that the Mavs fans are gonna like. The one in the first game where they had Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving, 116-105 home win over the Houston Rockets when fans held large pregame protest outside of American Airlines Arena, was the only time Irving and Davis had played together for the Mavs. Davis had 26 points, 16 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 blocks in 31 minutes before suffering his injury. Here is Nico Harrison's comment on that. That's a championship caliber team, and you guys were able to see it for 2.5 quarters. Unfortunately, it's a small sample size, but that is fairly a dominant defensive team. And as you look at us going forward, our philosophy is going to change. We're a team built on defense. We're built on versatility and depth. I think that's important going forward, and that's going to be the blueprint to our success. He dropped you guys were able to see it for 2.5 quarters.
That's so much worse than the Alfred Camino projections of the four. That's so much worse. So much worse.
All right.
Oh, my God.
If you're a Mavs
fan. I genuinely feel so awful for Mavs fans.
Yeah. If you're a Mavs fan, man, I'm sorry. I really am.
I also want nothing good to happen to that franchise.
Oh, okay.
Like, I am so conflicted. I'm so conflicted because I feel so bad for those Mavs fans, and, like, nothing would make me happier than for them to have, like, Cooper Flagg or something like that. You know what I mean?
I don't want them.
But at the same time, I want nothing good to happen to that organization because of ownership in the front office.
Yikes. All right. NBA's postseason gets underway tonight. You get the play-in games underway. 7-8 matchups, both the East and West. Atlanta at Orlando. And then you have, oh my gosh, the Warriors. My gosh. That's crazy to think about. The Golden State Warriors in a 7-8 matchup hosting the Memphis Grizzlies. Both those games on TNT starting at 4:30 tonight. We got a little playoff update on Dame Lillard. And look, how many more runs does he have? Danny and Dusty on the Fan. Damian Lillard has not played for the Milwaukee Bucks in almost a month. March 18th, they shut him down with deep vein thrombosis in his calf, aka blood clot in his calf. We got an update today that he is progressing. His blood clot is shrinking in his calf, but he will not be available to start the playoffs.
I talked to Dame 3-4 days ago, and just checking in with him, seeing how he's doing, and he was really pushing, like, no, there's a chance I could come back. It won't be immediately. And look, of all of the ailments I've ever had, blood clot is not one of them. I thought, and I've talked to a few doctors about this, and the same course of action was laid out across the board from every single one of them. And they go, yeah, you go on blood thinners for a minimum of 90 days to 6 months. Like, that's standard. Just that's how you treat it. And so when I was talking to Dame, I was like, I thought you had to be on this for at least 90 days. Like, I know you started a little bit before the news broke, but, like, that's still a ways out, man. And he goes, that's standard for 65-year-olds, like average humans, not prime-level athletes that have all of the treatment and care in the world, which was a bit eye-opening to me. I was like, oh, that it is a real possibility. He goes, yeah, we monitor it basically like an everyday situation to see, we track it. Is it getting smaller? Is it getting better? And once it's gone, basically you have to clear certain hurdles, but there is a path where if the Bucks, let's say the Bucks knock off the Pacers in the first round, which is going to be a difficult proposition without Dame, but say they do, there is a chance that he could theoretically come back, which I did not think was on the table. I thought was all BS when that was first kind of announced, but he explained to me that, no, there actually is. Now, Dame's a lunatic, and he's going to do everything he can.
Well, I also think him not being 7 feet tall or close to 7 feet tall obviously helps.
Super helpful. Also, he...
Because Chris Bosh, who's not 7 feet either, but he's right significantly taller than Dame, it he was on blood thinners and his was in a different location for a very long time.
Yeah. And well, he's on them for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
Because he had it reappear. That's the problem. But for Dame, it did appear later in life. So it probably is kind of a one-off thing. And I asked him about if you know, are they doing anything different as far as the NBA? Like, is there new treatments, new regimens, new scans, new anything? Like, is there a reason why we've seen kind of a rise in them? And he told me, he goes, I'm aware of. He goes, with mine, I thought it was just the lingering calf issue, because he's been dealing with that since he was here.
Mm-hmm.
His calf has had issues. And they did an MRI, but they also did an ultrasound. And then the ultrasound is where they found it. And like, I didn't know this either, that apparently like blood clots can be painful. Like the blood clot itself can be like the thing that causes the issue, which I had no idea. I thought it was just kind of a thing that was like, oh, it feels a bit like a knot, but no, that ultimately was the issue there. And, from what I've been able to gather, it's not like the NBA is like looking around and like trying to find them more often, or I guess they're just happening to look at some like damaged tissue stuff and opting for ultrasounds more readily.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, the ultrasound is a lot easier to do than the MRI.
Yeah.
You would think that would almost kind of be the default go-to, but I'm not that familiar with like how you look at it or how you kind of figure that out. But, it's kind of a weird situation, but again, Dame's going to do everything he can to play because he's a sicko. I'll share this here. Like, I just don't want him playing if there's any risk at all. I think because he's crazy enough to try it.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's scary.
They got to protect him from himself.
Yeah, and he is not going to be there for the start of the playoffs. We will see if he's there at all. I wouldn't imagine that we see him in the postseason, not because of his recovery, but I don't know how long the Milwaukee Bucks are going to be in the playoffs.
That's the thing, is that, look, that Pacers team is pretty good.
Yeah, they are.
That Pacers team is pretty good, man. I don't know if anybody's been watching Tyrese Haliburton this year. He's been really good.
And Milwaukee was playing well at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. I mean,
Pat Connaughton, 43 points, baby.
Let's go. Planet Pat.
43, 11, and 5.
But that is still, it's an uphill climb, especially in a 7-game series where
you don't have a primary ball handler.
Taken away, man.
What Giannis has done this year, I know it's kind of adjacent here, but is it weird to you how we look at Giannis now? Almost as an afterthought, averaging 31, 11, and 6, like nothing.
Well, there's that, but it's also, it's the Giannis fatigue. It's also, we're having Jokic fatigue. Jokic finished the year
averaging
a triple-double, and people are like, yeah, not going to win the MVP this year.
The only center to ever do it.
Yet that is the reason Russell Westbrook won the MVP.
And he did it at a level significantly more efficiently than Russ could ever dream of.
Russ was chasing rebounds at the end of games, and Jokic was like, I did? That's amazing. Yeah. I did that. I didn't even know I did that. Yeah. That's pretty neat.
Speaking of impressive feats by Nikola Jokic, third in points per game, third in rebounds per game, second in assists per game, and second in steals per game. Nobody has ever done that in the top 10 even in each of those categories.
And he's top 3 in all of them.
He's a freak.
No.
I love watching him.
He might be one of the 3 most talented players to ever play the game.
Yeah. All right. Well,
it's insane.
God bless Nikola Jokic. And Dame Lillard, huh? Who may or may not be playing.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Mm. All right, we have one of the great days in sports is today.
Mm.
We will have that coming up a little bit later in the show. But are the 49ers looking to move up in the draft?
Oh.
Next on The Fan. All right, the San Francisco 49ers, there is a report out there that the Niners, who are set to pick 11th in the NFL draft at the end of this month, are looking to move up in the draft, huh? Mm. There's a report that they are looking to move into the top 6. And that seems aggressive, moving up 5 spots there. And whomst do they really like that they would want to draft in that top 6? That's also a interesting question.
It's Mason Graham for me.
Yeah, you think they want to go interior D-line?
Yeah.
Yeah. But moving them into the top 6, They're not going to be moving. Think of number one, Tennessee, not going to give up that pick. Number two, Cleveland, not going to give up that pick. Number three, New York, not going to move off of that pick.
Not without a King's ransom.
They won't, because they will have their pick of either number two quarterback if they want to go that route, mm-hmm. or best available at so many different positions that they need help at. And that's where it goes to. Really, this means they want to move in the 4-6 range,
yeah, so,
which is New England at 4, Jacksonville at 5, Vegas at 6.
Yeah.
And they do have the capital to move up there because they've got a full complement of picks and compensatory picks, because when you let guys go in the NFL, you get a mm-hmm. comp pick in return. So this year they got 4 picks in the top 100.
Mm-hmm.
Next year they will also have 4 of the top 100 picks in the draft. And so there is wiggle room there, and they got double digit picks in the next 2 drafts. So they have the capital to do it, where you swap, you know, 11 for, let's just say it is, you know, Jacksonville at 5, right? Swap 11, and then they have the 100th overall pick in the third round, a compensatory pick this year. You send the comp pick in the third round, and then you give them, you know, maybe a second or a first rounder next year if the asking price gets that steep, and then you can move in. Also, if you're looking to unload some salary cap, that's a way to do it too, where you can move up into that top 5, give yourself a little bit of breathing room, mm-hmm. and draft the position with a younger player and infuse a little bit of young talent.
If you are the Patriots,
not against that.
Where are you, yeah, as resident Patriots guy?
Yeah.
Where, if the 49ers call you, what is your answer to them moving up there? You get number 11, obviously.
Yeah, you get 11.
What's the ask there after that? Next year's 1 and a 3?
Yeah, well, I would probably want I'd want a veteran offensive lineman. You're not getting Trent Williams. But you're looking at interior offensive line. So you go like Brendel, their center.
Mm.
No, you're good at center. But you go either one of their guards, and then you go, you get 11 and then
another
comp pick. Yeah. Somewhere else, or a comp pick. I mean, depending on how much you like their interior line. But I say you just draft a young guy.
Yeah.
And do really well there.
If I'm the Raiders, have you seen the depth chart for the Raiders at cornerback?
Boy, I know that they've been cutting guys left and right.
There's nobody.
Jack Jones is gone.
There's nobody left. It is.
Let's look at that.
It is a cavern of woe.
Eric Stokes.
And by woe, I mean not W-H-O-A, I mean W-O-E. It is...
Deca Marion Richardson?
Yeah, brother. It's...
I've never seen or heard that name in my life.
It's some NCAA-created name stuff.
Mississippi State,
uh-huh.
4th-round pick last year.
Yeah. Not a great pop.
Huh.
So part of me...
Deca Marion, that's a cool name.
It is. So if I'm the Raiders, I'm entertaining this offer.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm doing it for picks. That's what I'm trying to stockpile assets. The problem is,
at 11, you can still get best corner in the draft.
Yes, but I think that they want Genty, but if they go to 11, I don't think that's possible.
No.
Because I think the Bears will take Genty at 10.
But if you can get best corner, look, their offense is going to be a work in progress this year anyways.
But I like the approach of taking the best possible player available, which I think Genty would be mm-hmm. at 6.
Yeah.
But if you go back to 11, let's say you go back to 11, you get another first and either a 2 or a 3, depending on where it is as far as compensatory picks. Then you've got a little bit more to work with going forward. Because you're not giving up a player that you have already. You're just giving up the right to draft said player. And again, I think Genty's going to be an absolute stud. And I'd love to see him in the silver and black. I legitimately have told people, I will buy a Genty jersey if they draft him. It would be the first Raiders jersey I've bought in a very long time. But I you definitely squint, though, because corners in this class, this is not the best corner class.
No.
And it's always like, argh, it's a little tough.
I mean, Will Johnson is really good. Jahdae Barron, the kid out of Texas, really good. Obviously, Travis Hunter. But I still think Will Johnson's a better corner than Travis Hunter.
And it's not like Will Johnson's ball skills are lacking. And
I've said this for last season. Travis Hunter wasn't going to be the best receiver nor the best corner in this draft. He's really good at both.
He might be number two at both.
And it's incredible to say, like, hey, this guy can play both ways in the National Football League, but you're not getting the best available player at either position.
No. No. You're getting the utility of maybe doing something weird with him.
Yeah, and he had an interesting quote as well, saying something along the lines of, man, I'd rather just not even play football than have to choose between playing receiver or corner, which, interesting. He said, it's never...
Really pushing it, huh?
It's, yeah. He said, if he'd rather stop playing football than pick between wide receiver and corner, it's never play football again because I've been doing it my whole life, and I love being on the football field. I feel like I could dominate for each side of the ball, so I really enjoy doing it. Ah, I don't know, man.
He's really trying to push the narrative, man.
I don't
really trying to push it.
Well, there is news on that, and we will talk about that at some point during the show. But to start hour number two off, I want to get to ranking the Blazers based on importance moving forward. Mm. I want you to rank each one of the Blazers on this roster based on their importance moving forward this season.
Okay.
Danny and Dusty on the Fan.